Welcome to Career Tools. This week, pay attention to behaviour. The questions this cast answers are, what are the unspoken rules of the workplace? What should I know to work well with my boss? And how do I guess what my boss wants?
If you're a director, you need roadmap. You need to be able to see whether or not your managers are rolling out one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and delegation. You can drill down with roadmap, if you've got it and your direct managers have it, to see how they're doing and what they're doing, and keep apprised of how they're doing such that you can talk to them about it. Hopefully, it'll be positive feedback. Check out roadmap.
Sorry, you and I have had enough bosses to know that sometimes they say one thing and mean another, and sometimes they say one thing and do something else. And that's just part of normal human behavior. We all say one thing and do another sometimes. We are all inconsistent at some times. We can all work harder at doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. But this cast is not about our behavior. It's about dealing with the people around you saying one thing and doing another. So what are we going to cover?
Today we're going to cover behavior speaks the loudest. Then we'll provide some examples of that. Act according to the behavior versus what is said. Then don't make it obvious. And the last step is watch your own behavior as well.
So this quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson is everywhere on the internet. He actually wrote, "Don't say things. What you are stands over the while and thunders so that I cannot hear what you say to the contrary." And it's usually simplified to say, what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. In other words, your behavior is so loud that people can't hear the words that are actually coming out of your mouth. You know, it's when you are looking to work out what somebody wants, it's not what they say, it's what they do that you should follow. So a simple example would be, all of us say we want to be better educated. We want to read more books. We want to learn a language. We want to go back and learn all the math that we missed out on in school. Nearly everybody who listens to this kind of podcast is on a self-improvement kick of some kind. And what do when we get home? We turn on the TV and we say we want to improve ourselves, but what we do says the opposite. If we judge ourselves by our behavior, we don't want to be more educated. Watching TV is more important than that goal. There's a statistic that says that when we put films or movies or TV onto our Netflix queue, we never watch what's on the queue, because what's on the queue is the things that we should be watching. You know, the things with some intellectual content or that are some commentary on 21st century living, or, you know, they're the kind of Tolstoy of TV. And actually, when we sit down in front of the TV, we don't want to watch any of that. We just watch The Simpsons or whatever, because, you know, when we're planning for future us is an intellectual and we'll watch those programs. But current us just wants to sit and watch The Simpsons.
Exactly. And the thing is, whatever our words say and whatever comes out of our mouth, it's our behavior that others judge us by, right? If I say to you, I want to hear your opinion, but then during a conversation, I don't let you get a word in edgewise and I'm constantly speaking over you and interrupting, you can probably assume that I don't really want to hear your opinion. It's just lip service. And bosses, because they're human beings, right? They're people just like we are, also sometimes say one thing and then behave to the contrary.
We'll give you some examples because the disconnect between what is being said and done in the workplace are quite subtle, obvious, often. But it's really important to watch out for them, because when your boss asks you to do something, you want to act according to his behavior, not his words. And it doesn't matter why people do this. Everybody does it to some extent. It doesn't matter really why your boss says one thing and does another. Like you, they probably have a Netflix queue where future them is going to watch the Tolstoy and they actually watch The Simpsons. You know, everybody is the same. And as a recent manager tools cast said, you're not a psychologist unless you are. And you also might want to listen to the assume positive intent cast again, because it's almost certain that someone is not behaving inconsistently to wind you up. If people are behaving inconsistently, it's because they're human and that's what humans do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've talked about one good example of this, actually, in another cast called Is Your Boss a Reader or a Listener? Bosses prefer to either be readers or listeners. They either prefer to consume new information by reading it first or by being told about it first. If you notice that your boss doesn't read your emails, but comes in to your office, stops by, and chats about the subject instead, then your boss is probably a listener. Now, if she glazes over and stares at you while you're talking and tends to send instructions via email instead, then she's probably a reader. And knowing this kind of difference, you can change your behavior to suit what your boss or your manager prefers as opposed to what you prefer. If you work the way that your boss prefers, you'll find that you get better results because communication is what the listener does. Right? If you speak to her in a language she understands, of course, it will make more sense. She'll get it.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this case, if your boss is a reader, then you send them an email about what it is you want to discuss, and then you book the meeting to discuss it. If they're a listener, you go talk to them, and then you send an email to confirm. It doesn't matter which one they are. There's a way to adjust your behavior either way.
Another example of this might be bosses who have an open door policy, meaning you can stop by anytime you want to discuss your work with them. That said, when you go to their office, they don't look up from the computer or maybe glance at you briefly and then just keep typing, not really paying that much attention, right? The behavior, the not looking up from the computer, tells you that though her words say, we have an open door policy, she doesn't really have an open door policy.
Well, she might have a policy. It's just that she doesn't act in accordance with having the policy. A lot of people have an open door policy because they think it's a good thing to do. Again, like the Netflix queue thing, they feel like they're supposed to, but actually their behavior says they don't want one because that's not the way they really work.
Exactly. And in this case, it would be a smart move to, instead of popping by during that open door policy, you booked meetings in advance rather than just showing up. Her behavior suggests that it would be more beneficial if you gave her advance warning.
Indeed. But it's an easy change to make and it will improve your relationship immeasurably. Here's another example. Some bosses say, I want everybody to speak up. I want to hear everybody's ideas. But when you throw out ideas, they scoff at them or they deride them or they say that won't work, or you just get a whole bunch of negative feedback about them. So when they say, I want your ideas, they don't actually mean it. He doesn't want your ideas. So in this case, you'd be wise to not have ideas of your own, but to support your boss
right. In
his ideas.
And there's always the people who say, I do careful analysis, or I would like to consider the data, but then always go with their gut feeling anyway, even if the numbers are to the contrary.
And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with these behaviors per se, right? There is nothing wrong with not having an open door policy if it doesn't work for you as a manager. It doesn't make you a bad manager to not have that policy. Not wanting to hear people's opinions or ideas is stupid because you have a team full of ideas. Why would you not at least consider them? But it's not indicative of a bad person. It's just a way of working. And, you know, if going with your gut works every time, then it's fine that you don't consider the numbers. If you're so attuned to your customer that you don't need to look at the numbers, then don't look at the numbers. It doesn't matter.
The problem with the whole thing from the perspective of the direct is that they act according to what they said rather than what the boss wants. Right? She rewards something that's different than what she said she wanted initially. So it seems contrary. Now, we need to be careful, however, not to jump on the discrepancy the very first time that we see it or hear it. Right? That's the problem. For example, a company or boss manager might say, here, we value meritocracy, but then promote a less accomplished staff member. Right? And there might be really good reasons for it. The person may be accomplished in ways that you yourself, as an individual contributor, can't see. You're not privy to that information. But if this becomes a pattern, then you can probably deduce that the company is saying one thing and doing another. We just caution you not to act the very first time and not to act when you see one single example of a difference between the words and the actions, however small. You need to see a preponderance or a great deal of evidence that this is a habit, not a one-off, because if you act too soon, it could just really be to your detriment. It could reflect poorly on you.
Yeah. If the company says we value meritocracy and they promote someone who doesn't have the accomplishments that you think should be promoted or doesn't have it as much as anybody else, and you go complain to your boss or HR or the CEO, you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. So you don't want to jump on that. Now, if you see three people promoted and you don't think that they merit the promotion, then the answer probably is still not go to HR or the CEO, because they are validating that behavior because they're not stopping it. And so the best thing to do is look for another job or be okay with the fact that it's not merit that has that makes promotions in this company. I mean, sometimes you can stay in a company that does something that's not quite what you would want it to do, but it balances out in lots and lots of other ways. You know, it's like 5 minutes from your child's school, there's flexible hours, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why people stay in jobs. It's fine if people are promoted without merit and there's other things that weigh up for you to stay in this job, then stay in the job. But just don't go to HR or the CEO about things like that where they are allowing it to happen because they're saying it's okay with us. And if you come to it and say it's not okay with me, they're like, there's more of us and we can fire you. We don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The next piece of it all is act according to the behaviors rather than the words. So we always discount what people say about themselves. Human beings are masters of delusion. Right? We lack self-awareness, and the person we delude the very most is ourselves. You can trust what people do in a way that you can't trust what they say. Think about all of the people who say, I want to lose weight, and then order French fries when you go for lunch with them, right? Doing the exact opposite, eating things that are bad for them, allowing themselves to cheat, proves by their behavior that they're probably not that dedicated to losing weight.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the dichotomy between what people are saying and what they're doing.
Exactly.
And we're all creatures of habit. That's why DISC works so well. If you see someone making big gestures, speaking fast and loud and dropping names, they're probably a high I because those are probably their habits of communication. And like we said just now, you probably have to see them in 3 or 4 meetings because it's possible that they are very flexible with their style. But when you've seen them 3 or 4 times and they always act like a high I, you can be pretty sure they're a high I, even if they tell you they're something different. And no matter what that person says about reliability around deadlines, I always hit my deadlines. You want to be really suspicious of a high I who says they hit their deadlines and wait for them to demonstrate that they actually do. Because it's really rare.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had somebody recently write in and ask me, I know an individual who is clearly a high I and they don't believe it. How do I prove it to them? And I said, have them take the test, because you trying to prove to them that they are someone they believe they're not will not do you any favors.
No, it won't.
Right? It will not. It will be like poking them in the eye. Don't do that.
Yeah, prove to me I'm wrong. Oh no, don't do that.
Oh no, don't do that. Especially with the high D, right? You want to try and find out your boss's DISC. It'll give you a useful shortcut to their preferences. So as we say, the high I, they want to hear your story, right? And they want to talk to you. They want to talk over each other, have an excited type conversation. Whereas your high D's, high D boss, they want you to get to the point, right? Bottom line up front. The high S's, they want to know how people are doing, right? How you are, how you feel, a lot of emotion words with an S type manager. And C's like details, right? They like the data. And if you're a manager, you could have your team take the DISC assessment or come to our effective communicator conferences. And that'll help everyone on the team, right? Your entire organization work better with one another as well as with you.
Exactly. Disc is the best thing I ever did. So let's talk about some different behaviors. So if your boss says, I want a rough draft fast. So some people say sooner is better, even if it's rough. But then they pick apart every structure, spelling mistake, grammar mistake that you would correct afterwards. Then his behavior says, I want to see a perfect copy. Like he's saying, I want a rough draft fast, but he doesn't. He wants a perfect copy.
Mm-hmm. Or when your boss says, I don't care how many hours you work, as long as the work is done. But then chimes in every time you come in a little bit late or leave early. Then the behavior clearly says, I want you to be here from 8 to 5 during working hours.
When they say, I'll review your work today, and then the review comes back 3 days later, then the behavior says, I'm going to review your work when I'm ready, or I'm going to put it in a list of priorities with everything else, and that might not be today, then you should assume that your work is not going to come back today.
Mm-hmm. Smart people work according to the behavior, as opposed to what is said. Right? When your boss has said, by their behavior, I want a perfect copy, then it behooves you to only present a perfect copy. When she says, by her behavior, I want you in your seat from 8 to 5, then it behooves you to be in your seat from 8 to 5. If your boss says, by their behavior, I will review your work within 3 days, then it just behooves you, it pays off that you adjust your timeline accordingly, based on the schedule.
Smart people also recognize that sometimes the boss's standards for himself are not the standards that he or she will accept from you. So you might have a boss, I had a boss like this, who was constantly late for meetings, like 5-10 minutes late. But if he was in the meeting room, you better be in the meeting room. Even if you were 5 minutes late and had an excuse, a reason that was better than any of his, it didn't matter. Because if he was in the room, you should be in the room. And it wasn't fair, in inverted commas. You know, he wasn't applying the standard consistently to himself and to everybody else. But life isn't fair. Workplaces aren't fair. And all you had to do was be in the room before him. That was the trick.
Yes.
Right? And all of a sudden, all your problems about what time you got to meetings disappeared. And it's little things like this that people don't want to do, and they wonder why other people have more success. And it's because they're willing to do these like little, I'm listening to the behavior, I'm not listening to what's said, I'm watching what works and what doesn't, and I'm willing to change my behavior to have more of what works.
Absolutely. Then the last part is, don't make it obvious. So before you go off and act the way that you know your boss wants you to, one caution. You can't make it obvious that you're doing it. So let's say, for example, your boss says that he doesn't need to sign off on your decisions before an upcoming trip. But then after the fact, you get in trouble for making a decision he doesn't like. Now, you know that while he says he doesn't need to sign off on your decisions, his behavior displays a different preference, right? Saying that he does. Now, the next time a decision comes up about like ordering paper clips or something, don't go to him to ask, making it obvious that since you didn't agree with one decision I made, I'm going to check on every single one with you.
It's like a really passive aggressive way of dealing with it.
It is snarky, and he'll know right away, immediately, he's going to know why you've done this. Just find a way to check with him the next time you're making a decision about something of a similar magnitude. Don't drill down to the very lowest common denominator, because it will stick out. He will know what you're doing.
Exactly. Let's say your boss says your code comments are sufficient, but she's always asking what a particular section really does. And then I found this example, so don't do this. If you have the show notes, you can read this. It's way easier to read than it's going to be for me to explain it, but I'm going to try. So there's a sign for comment out, and then it says, set the value of the age integer to 32. Right? That's the comment on this section of code. And then on the next slide, it says, integer age equals 32. It's like, here's the simplest bit of code, and here's a description of what it does. But you didn't need that description because it was obvious what it did.
Right.
I'm sure all the people who do software engineering can understand why that's not really a good thing to do. So you want to make sure that the comments you are making are really sufficient. You know, you have to check that even if somebody says something negative to you that you don't think is reasonable, then you have to go back and say, okay, I don't think it's reasonable. Look at my work. Is there something in that comment that is true? You know, make sure your comments are really sufficient. You know, ask someone to look at them and adjust, or even adjust your style to make the boss happy without comment, right? Even if you think, I have enough comments on my code, and your boss keeps coming to you and asking what things are, then effectively they're saying you don't have enough comment on your code. So just up the amount that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Again, it's like the simplest change in behavior. It's a really small change in behavior, but it takes away this huge like drama that's brewing from the fact that your boss is saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next piece is watch your own behavior. So you want to be consistent as well in what you're doing and what you're saying. It's going to be what makes you a professional, right? Doing what you say, saying what you do. It's these unspoken expressions of a person that make them trustworthy. That's how we know we can trust people. And we all, again, as we said, we delude ourselves. Do what you say you're going to do when you say you will do it. Don't worry about what your personality is or your temperament. Just stick to the simple. Do what you say you're going to do and do it.
And don't believe that you can be all things to all people. You are not warm and fuzzy and outgoing and reserved and soft and analytical. You can be one or other of those things in certain situations, but your pattern is not to be all of them. It just isn't. Like, we all have a set of preferences, and that's the way we act when we're not thinking about it. Your pattern is what you do. So instead, work with your pattern instead of deluding yourself that you can be all things to all people and you're constantly changing color like a chameleon. Anyone who is watching your behavior will tell you, you are a lot less successful at that than you think you are. It's just not possible to be everything to everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you are in a situation where your boss says one thing and does another, or says one thing and implies by their actions that they actually want something else, pay attention to the behavior, because that tells you what they actually want. And then make the small change so that they get what they want. You know, 9 times out of 10, these are tiny changes that you make, and it just makes your life 100% easier.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Hope that was helpful. We'll be back next week.